Can I welcome you all to this gathering? The gathering, of course, is to mourn the death of Mr. James Albert McKee, or Jimmy as he was known to all of us, I'm sure. I didn't say a great deal about Jimmy because you all know what manner of man he was, and you know what there is to know that I could say. But as I said at the house, he was a loving husband to Marjorie, a father, loving father to James, and we offer them our sincere sympathy. And he was one of a family of four born to his parents. He was predeceased by Madge and Joey, and leaves Hugh William, and we sympathise with him also, as well as Marjorie's sister Rosemary. He was born on the 28th of September 1931 in the farmhouse at Tullyvallen. There he was born, there he lived, and there he died, and in a good old age. He was a farmer through and through, as everybody knew. He loved his work, and long after many men would be thinking of retirement, he still kept animals, even to the very end. He was physically strong, he loved his work, and he loved to be out and about, and if at all possible, to get outside, even in his later illness. The three boys lived on the farm, and probably everyone assumed that that was that. But to everyone's joy and possibly surprise, on the 20th of April 1987, he married Marjorie Fee. And the arrival of James Jr. increased that joy, and James was brought up in the truth of God. He was a member in Tullyvallen most of his life, and for many years was an elder in that congregation, and he was a treasurer for 53 years. And then he was a member here in Lochbrickland latterly. Above all, Jimmy was a Christian. That is why we gather here, yes, to mourn and sorrow, because we shall miss him, but not as those who have no hope. We do not sorrow in a despairing way, but in the assurance of the hope of the gospel. And we worship God as well. That is a primary purpose of our gathering together. And we begin our worship of God in singing Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1 on the sheet. That man hath perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way, nor sitteth in the scorner's chair, but placeth his delight upon God's law and meditates on his law day and night. And after the singing of the psalm, can we remain standing, and I'll call upon the Reverend David McGee, who's known Jimmy for many years. We'll call upon Mr. McGee to lead us in prayer. Let us stand to praise God.
Oh, We lift our hearts to thee this afternoon. Thou art our Creator, our Preserver, and our Redeemer through thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And, O God, this afternoon we give special thanks that as Redeemer, he has indeed fulfilled all that was necessary to bring his people hope to glory. He fulfilled the law. We give thanks, O God, that on that cross he was able to cry out, "It is finished." And so we rejoice this afternoon in the wonder of the love of our gracious God, so loving us as to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, we give thanks that for thy children, death in this world is but the beginning of a new and glorious life in glory. Jesus could say, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." For that wonderful assurance, Father, we give praise today. Be dear to all of us. Be especially dear to those who mourn most sorely the death of a loved husband and father and friend to so many throughout a wide district. Lord, comfort and sustain in the days that lie ahead. And Lord, bless your own word to us today. Speak through that word. Comfort our hearts and challenge our hearts too, that, Lord, we might go forth from this place rejoicing afresh in the wonder of sovereign love and sovereign grace in Jesus. Hear our prayer. Forgive our sin. In this hearing we ask. Amen.
Amen. We read the word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and from verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, and from verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him to believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And we turn again to Hebrews chapter 2, to the book of Hebrews and chapter 2, and reading from verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 to the end. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. May God bless the reading of his own word. It's particularly the second reading that we look at in verses 15 and 16, where it tells us of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And we look for a moment or two at the question of the fear of death, and that the Christian gospel is the only answer there is to the fear of death. We might ask ourselves, why can a Christian like Jimmy McKee face death and not be afraid? The book of Hebrews gives some of the answer. This book was written largely to warn against the danger of the Hebrew Christians lapsing back into unbelieving Judaism, to avoid persecution. At that time, being a normal Jew was a protected religion, and all was well. Whereas if they stood out at Christians, as Christians, everything was far from well. And so the apostle seeks to show that Christ is superior to the angels, superior to Moses, superior to the priesthood of Levi. That's what the first big major section of the book is about. And our verses are found in the part of the epistle speaking of Christ's superiority to the angels. In fact, he was God manifest in the flesh. But it's answering an objection, which is this: if Christ is superior to the angels, why did he suffer and die, which the angels do not do? And the answer is, Not that he's inferior to the angels, but he became a man in order to redeem sinful men. And he was made perfect through sufferings, not in the moral sense of being made perfect, because he always was perfect and without sin, but he was made fully qualified as a sympathetic high priest through his sufferings as a man. But he became a man, not an angel. And so verse 16 says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." He became a man. First of all, we notice there is no gospel for fallen angels. There is no gospel for fallen angels. No gospel for Satan. No gospel for the demons. God created the angels all at once. They are a company of angels. Whereas man is described in terms of a race. And man, after the creation of the original pair, Adam and Eve, man increases in number by procreation. Among the angels, there were elect angels who were kept from sin. They were kept in their first estate, and they did not sin, whereas Satan and others did sin. But there is no message of salvation for fallen angels. Fallen sinful angels only are reserved unto judgment, as 2 Peter 2:4 tells us. There is no message of salvation for them. And God is just in the way he deals with sinful angels. They believe in the sense that they know the truth is true, and they tremble because there is no way of deliverance for them. The second thing is that the gospel is for sinful men. It's for sinful men. Man was made, as we said, an original pair, Adam and Eve, and God had a different arrangement, both at creation and in salvation, for them, as he did for angels. When Adam sinned, all sinned by the offense of one. Many were made sinners. And God's election to salvation is an election of sinful men to be saved through the mediator, Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as the second person of the Godhead, became man without ceasing to be God. That's very important. He became a man, but he did not cease to be God. He is God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ, having become a man, led a sinless life, a perfect life as a man in this world. He was altogether holy. He was holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners. That's not true of any of us. We're all sinners. We're all guilty before God by nature, and we all deserve the judgment of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin, and yet he bore the wrath of God in the place of sinners as the substitute of sinful men and women. Not as the substitute of angels, but of men, fallen men and women in this world. You see, God doesn't save except he saves justly. God always punishes sin. It's one of the myths of this generation that God is a God of love and therefore doesn't punish sin. He does. Let no man deceive you. God punishes sin, and we are sinners and liable to the punishment of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ atoned for sin. He bore the judgment of God in the place of sinners, that all who believe on him should have acceptance in the sight of God. The scriptures speak of God as just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. To justify is the opposite of condemn. And God is the judge of all, justifies, declares righteous those sinners who trust in the Lord Jesus, for he has borne the punishment for them. God saves justly as well as graciously. There was never greater grace than in the giving of his Son, but he saves justly. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we come to God through Christ, our advocate with the Father. And thirdly, Christ delivers from the fear of death. Christ delivers from the fear of God, of death. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Why is death so fearful? The truth is that death is fearful. It's called in the Bible the King of Terrors. Why is it so fearful? Well, there are good reasons. First of all, though death is universal, it is not natural in the sense that it is not part of the created order of things. Death exists because of sin, as in Adam, all die. And then there is the onceness of death. There's no trial run. We die once. It is appointed unto men once to die. And there's no having a second go at it. We die once. That makes it awesome and fearful. But then thirdly, there is the question of what lies beyond death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. If your sins are not forgiven, then you have good reason to be afraid of death. You have every reason to be afraid of death, because we can know, and we should know, what lies beyond the grave. There are two places where God fully punishes sin. One is the cross, where our Lord Jesus Christ, though he had no sin of his own, bore the wrath of God to the full in the place of guilty sinners. Our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was because he was bearing the guilt of sin and the judgment of God upon that sin. He was taken to the place called Calvary, the place of the curse, outside the gate, outside the city. But not only was he accursed by men, but he was submitting to the judgment of God in the place of guilty sinners. That's one place where God fully punishes sin. The other place is hell. And the Bible is very explicit about hell, as surely as it is about heaven. Hell is a place where God punishes sin to the full. And those whose sins are not taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ, they must go to that place called hell. But for all who trust in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. That is why, as we attend this funeral of a Christian man, Jimmy McKee, we do not sorrow as those who have no hope, because his hope and confidence was in the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore the sin of many. The Christian has this testimony: he was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Whereas the unsaved must bear the guilt of their sin forevermore in another world, those who are in Christ, it is written, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Or are you trusting in something else? The church, your church attendance, or perhaps yourself? Or perhaps you just have some wishful thinking that, well, everything will turn out all right in the end. Well, it won't. Unless you trust the Saviour, it won't turn out all right in the end. You must trust in Jesus Christ. You must repent of your pride, the desire to be independent of God, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ without money and without price. In Isaiah 55, we read of the right way to come to God. Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and hear. Come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And in verse 6, Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You must abandon the self-righteous thoughts. They're not like God's thoughts. It's us that's wrong, not God. You must give up all thoughts of saving yourself and trust in the Redeemer without money and without price. By the grace of God, we believe that Jimmy McKee trusted in this Saviour, and you must do the same. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the days of his flesh said, Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And that's why we do not sorrow as those who have no hope, because God has given his people the hope of life eternal through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing to God's praise in Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot heal not that slide, nor will he slumber that he keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not, nor sleeps. Psalm 121, and after the singing we remain standing, and I conclude with prayer. Let us stand and praise God. And eternal God, we bless and worship thy name, that thou art the God of salvation. We thank thee that there is forgiveness with thee, and with thee there is plenteous redemption. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us, we thank thee that this is the testimony of thy people, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. We thank thee, O God, for thy grace to Jimmy McKee when he was in this world, and for the assurance that thy word gives of a blessed eternity for those who are in Christ Jesus. We thank thee, O God, and pray for thy blessing upon his widow Marjorie, and upon his son James, that thou wilt bless them, and Hugh William, that thou wilt be gracious to them, and grant grace and mercy and peace. We pray for the whole family circle. We remember Rosemary, and we pray for her, and we pray for any nephews and nieces, that thou wilt grant to them the abundance of thy grace and in Christ Jesus. And we pray that thou wilt keep us all mindful of the eternal world, that we might flee from the wrath to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that man that is in hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Enable us all by thy Spirit to see beauty in him and to desire him above all that is in the world, and to put our trust in him, and to be accepted in thy sight. Hear us, O gracious God, look upon us through Christ Jesus, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.